The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I want to take this opportunity to introduce to you John Vinton. John, if you want to stand. John is one of our seminarians. He comes from Holy Spirit Parish in Hamburg. And John is going to be staying with us the rest of the month and throughout August. So we're very happy to have John with us here at the parish. And I know you'll make him welcome. Well, we've been reflecting these last few weeks on the call for us as a church to be prophetic. And again, just kind of a little reminder, a couple weeks ago we heard from the prophet Ezekiel, the first reading of Mass, and Ezekiel was told by the Lord to go and prophesy to the people, speak his word to them. He said, even though they're not going to listen, Ezekiel, but you are to go. He says, so that they will know that there is a prophet, has been a prophet amongst them. So we learn that God cares about his people. Even if they won't listen, even if they turn away, no one's going to get to the pearly gates and say, God didn't care. And that's because in our time, we, the church, are called to be that prophetic people. So we have a very serious responsibility of living and speaking the truth in love to our culture, to our world. And although we have no power to change it or make it do the right thing, again, like Ezekiel experienced at the time, we are still called to go and live and to speak God's word of truth. And then last Sunday, we learned from the prophet Amos that, again, the cost of being a prophet and what does it demand of us. And again, in the gospel, we know that Jesus sent out the apostles two by two, his disciples, to proclaim, and he gave them authority over the unclean spirits, over the demons. And again, we reflected on that, is that we know when we become a prophetic people, we have opposition. That's the cost of discipleship. And that, you know, we have to recognize that the enemy is always trying to undermine the good work of the gospel. And so we need to be courageous and equipped for ministry. And now we come to this third Sunday on the prophetic mission of the church, and we hear from the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah says, "Woe to the shepherds who mislead my people." What is he talking about? Of course, we hear shepherds, we think bishops and priests. Well, there is an application, that's for sure. But in the time of Jeremiah, it was the king and the royal court, and certainly the priests and the scribes and the religious leaders of the time, who had taken the people into idolatry. That was what was happening in the north. And they were leading the people into disobedience, misleading the people. And he says, you're going to answer for this. And again, it reminds us of the prophetic vision that the church and that Jesus has for the church, which again, we are responsible. There's that beautiful passage again in the book of the prophet Ezekiel. He says, I have set you as a watchman over the house of Israel. And he says, if you see your brother and sister sin and you say nothing and they die in their sins, he says, they will die, but I will hold you responsible. And he says, but if you speak and whether they turn or not, he says, I will not hold you responsible. So all throughout the prophetic literature of the Bible, there is this idea that we are the churches in the Old Testament, the people of God, were meant to be the people that gathered in the strays, the lost sheep. Of course, Jesus uses that image a lot in the New Testament. We are to be like him, the good shepherd, bringing in the sheep to salvation by what we say and what we do. So that's our responsibility with God's help, of course, with the grace of the Lord. So again, woe to the shepherds. Again, this meaning anyone, all of us, the church as a prophetic voice. Woe to us if we are like the people of Jeremiah, the leaders of Jeremiah's time, who were focused on their own comfort and their own selfishness and their own selfish ways. So again, that's the prophetic challenge to us as a church, that we, again, like Jeremiah, the people, why he was so angry with the leaders, the king, the royal court, and the religious leaders, is that their job as the people of God was to be calling in all the nations back to God. That was their main role, and they forgot that, and they got selfish and self-absorbed. And that's the danger for us in the church today. We get so self-absorbed with what I want that we forget that we have a serious mission to be a prophetic people. Now, the gospel doesn't sound as if it goes along with that, but it does. So we hear Jesus say, they've had this busy time again, like last Sunday we heard Jesus sent them off with authority over the unclean spirits, go, heal, you know, all that kind of thing. They do it, they come back, they're a bit tired, busy work, ministry, and Jesus says, all right, come away with me and rest for a while. And they get in the boat, and they start to cross the Sea of Galilee and head off to a deserted, a quiet place. Well, again, if you've been in Israel, you know that the Sea of Galilee is really more aptly called the Lake of Galilee, because you can see on the other side. It's a very small sea. And so it wouldn't be much for us to imagine the people seeing Jesus and the disciples going in the boat, and they could see where they were heading. And so what did they do? They ran around the Sea of Galilee, and they went to the other side, knowing where Jesus and the disciples were going to land. And then he gets off, and he sees this vast crowd, and it says that his heart was moved with pity for them. So they really didn't get a chance to rest, did they? And it says they didn't even have a chance to eat. So there was a very busy time. I'm going to take a look at that in a moment, but I want to focus on this word of Jesus. It says, come away and rest for a while. Well, we would think, you know, here we are in the summer, vacation time. This is a perfect message for us. But this has nothing to do with going on vacation. This word of Jesus is much deeper than that. So when Jesus says, come away and rest for a while, immediately, the Jews of Jesus' day, who are familiar with the scriptures, with the Old Testament, his apostles would have known immediately that Jesus was referring to Deuteronomy chapter 6, where God says to Moses and the people, he says, take these words of mine to heart, which I command to you today. Keep repeating them to your children. Recite them when you're at home and when you are away and when you lie down and when you get up. So what does Jesus mean when he says, come away and rest for a while? It's a deeper meaning. Again, we find a part of that in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Recite these words in your heart. What are the words? The words of God, the scriptures. Okay? Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God. The Lord alone is God. When you are away and when you lie down and when you get up. In other words, Jesus is saying, remember in the gospel passage where Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and you will find rest for your souls. That's what Jesus is talking about here. That's the reference. Come with me is another way of saying follow me, but follow me deeper and you will find rest. You will find rest. The deeper rest that all of us longs for. Not always the physical rest, because life is crazy, isn't it? You know, it doesn't always give us that opportunity to rest just like Jesus. But we can find that deeper place to rest in the Lord. Of course, we're talking about living the life in the Lord and prayer, having that deep relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, Jesus is saying, come and rest in me. Come and find that relationship in me. Come and rest your soul in me. Come and build that relationship. Enter into prayer, into the Word of God, and experience that deeper rest that only I can give you. So let's explore that for a minute. I think there's two main things that Jesus is saying to him when he says, rest in me. First, he's asking us, am I living in the Lord? Am I living in him? Again, come away to that quiet place. Remember what Jesus says in the gospel? When you pray, go to your closet, go to that secret place, Now, he's not telling us literally go in a closet and pray. That's not what he means. It's the same idea here. Go into that inner, deeper place within all of us where we can meet God one-on-one, where the soul communes with God. That's what we have to do if we're going to be a prophetic people. We have to develop that inner relationship with the Lord, that deeper place with Him. And you know what happens when we do that? Again, referencing the gospel, we are no longer sheep without a shepherd. And we're no longer sheep without a shepherd, because when we rest in that deeper place with Jesus, when we really work on developing that relationship with the Lord, we find the shepherd of our souls. We find Jesus who wants to minister us in a deeper way, not just simply physically, but spiritually, powerfully. So are we taking care of our spiritual life? Again, in the summer, unfortunately, a lot of Christians say this is vacation time, is a vacation from church and prayer and ministry. It is not. We never are on vacation from the Lord. So again, are we going to confession? Are we trying to avoid the near occasions of sin? Again, how can we have that deeper rest in Jesus if we're not looking within ourselves and examining our lives and receiving the sacrament of reconciliation, taking time for prayer? Are we growing in faith? Are we reading something this summer to help us grow in faith? Something to help us understand our Christian faith more. That's what it means to be a prophetic people. And secondly, Jesus is asking us, do you realize that you belong entirely to me? Everything, every part of your life belongs to me. You know, again, as we look at the gospel today, Jesus gets to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They disembark looking for rest, and they don't find any. And again, there's that beautiful line in the scripture. He says he was moved with compassion, moved with pity for the crowd that was before him, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them. Again, you know, that's the case with us. You know, we're all busy. There's lots going on in our lives. And you know, again, without the power of the Holy Spirit, without that deeper relationship with Jesus, it's very easy for us to get frazzled. It's very easy for us to just simply see the things I mentioned, spiritual reading, spiritual life, as an extra burden, something more to do. If it is, then we're in problem. We're in a problem. And we really don't have that relationship with the Lord that we need. Again, St. Paul in the letter to the Ephesians says, put on the armor of God. He says, because the enemy is throwing fiery darts at you, trying to penetrate into your soul. He says, so put on that shield of faith, that helmet of salvation, that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, he says. We need to arm ourselves. We need to, again, come and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I belong entirely to Him? Or am I a sheep without a shepherd? Is that what I feel about in my life? Then we need to go and enter into that depth with Jesus. And again, it takes us even further than just my personal relationship with the Lord. Again, we're called to be, as a church, a prophetic voice for the world. And again, listen to that line. Jesus was moved at the sight of the crowd. Moved with compassion. And that's what I want to ask us today. Are we moved with compassion for the plight of the world? For the lost? The people in your life who maybe have wandered away from the faith? Do we look at the world around us today filled with violence and all kinds of problems? Doesn't that move us to compassion? I hope it does. If it doesn't, then there's something wrong with us. We're not really being a prophetic people. You know, I hear a lot of people today, a lot of Christians, see it on Facebook. I hear letters and messages and emails to me, and they're angry. They're angry about the direction our government's taking. They're angry about the Supreme Court decision. They're angry about the president. They're angry about the Congress. They're angry. And I say to them, stop being angry and start being compassionate. Start asking Jesus for a heart like His. You're not going to change the culture. Nobody here is going to do that. That's up to the Holy Spirit. That's up to the Lord. But what we're called to do is to be that prophetic people, to be with a heart of compassion for God's people, the lost as well as the saved. That's what God is calling us to do. That's how we're going to be an effective and prophetic people. I think that's how the Holy Father, Pope Francis, why he's touching so many hearts, because I think he knows what it means to be a shepherd. And he's reaching out with compassion to the whole world, as is the role of the Holy Father. And he's doing it in such a powerful way. Are we filled with compassion? Are we just angry about the fact that our life is not going the way we want it, or our culture? We need to grow up. We need to mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to stop complaining and stop pointing fingers and stop being angry. And we need to say, Jesus, what are you calling me to do? What do you want me to do in the midst of this very confused and lost world that is your world and that you care about these people? I should too. Fill me with compassion for the lost, for my brothers and sisters who maybe don't get it. Bishop Fulton Sheen, whose cause is up for canonization, praise the Lord. It's been a long time coming, I think. Bishop Fulton Sheen, I was talking years ago to a Protestant friend of mine, an elderly gentleman. He said, I used to watch Bishop Fulton Sheen on TV all the time. He was awesome. He had a great program. I think you can still watch the reruns on EWTN. Wonderful messages he gave. I think it was called Life is Worth Living. Great message. But listen to what Bishop Sheen says. You will never be happy if your happiness depends on getting solely what you want. Change the focus. Get a new center. Will what God wills, and your joy no man shall take from you. I want to say it again. You will never be happy if your happiness depends on getting solely what you want. Change the focus. Get a new center. Will what God wills, and your joy no man shall take from you. And we will become a prophetic people. God bless you.